Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polititalk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Welcome, everyone, to another cold weekend here.
Oh, goodness.
Cold everywhere, I think.
I just want to tell anybody that's listening from up north or Canada or whatever, we're southern. We don't want your weather. Come get it. It's running around in my yard.
After about a high of like around 28 yesterday, a low of 13 last night.
This is South Carolina.
We don't do cold here. That's what Mary Beth is trying to say.
That's what I am saying, because dadgum, I don't think my feet have thawed yet. Probably going to be like May.
You got something to start us off with over there?
Yes, I do.
All right, there we go.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Y'all, tonight's devotional is called The Biting Serpents. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's from John 3:14. The whole tragedy of the human race, with its death and destruction, pain and suffering, began when a serpent beguiled Eve. Numbers 21:4-9 tells the story of another serpent. The children of Israel bitterly complained against God and Moses for their wilderness woes. In response, God sent poisonous snakes, and many died. When the people cried out to God for deliverance, God told Moses to put a replica of a snake on a pole. When those who had been bitten looked at it, they were healed. The law of Moses is like those biting snakes because it brings nothing but the curse of death. But when the repentant sinners look to Jesus, who became a curse for us on the cross, they are delivered from death. That is why we must take sinners through the mortal law. Its purpose is to bring death and their futile efforts to be saved. That's from Romans 7:10. And make them look to Jesus as their only way to life. The law is a schoolmaster to bring people to Christ so they may be justified by faith. The soul search tonight is, what emotions do I have when I think of Jesus becoming a curse for me? Am I truly horrified, grateful, contrite, and left in awe? Father, there are no words to express my feelings when it comes to the cross. Help me be an instrument to lovingly share your love with others.
Amen. So, you know, last week we started that new series to help us through the new start of the new year off right. You remember?
I do.
The Better series. Well, tonight we're going to continue that with part two, talking about better relationships. And when I talk about better relationships, I mean our relationships are a good indicator of the trajectory of our lives. The people that we spend most of our time with have an incredible influence on who we become. And to become better, we may need to make better choices concerning the whom we spend our time with. So that's something to think about as we move into that later on tonight in the show. But I'm excited about continuing this new series, and we'll cover that more a little bit later. But now I think there's a lot of news to talk about. You ready to kick this off?
Yes, I am.
Politics, current events, it's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
The major headlines, as things are chilly and cooling off outside, things are heating up in the presidential race on the Republican side, looks like. And then there were two, right?
Indeed.
DeSantis suspended his campaign today with 2 days till the New Hampshire primary. And it was a little odd that earlier today there was an announcement that he was canceling or postponing a couple of his stops. Some things changed. And then today at 2:37 p.m. In a video from Florida posted to X Governor Ron DeSantis suspended his presidential campaign 2 days ahead of primary voting in New Hampshire, where polling suggests he would finish a distant third. DeSantis says, if there's anything I could do to produce a favorable outcome, more campaign stops, more interviews, I would do it. But I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory. So, accordingly, I'm suspending my campaign.
So that's interesting. That's so interesting.
So, if you look at a snapshot of the nominee preference, you got Trump sitting up there at 69%.
Yes.
With DeSantis trailing at 12%, Haley at 9%, Ramaswamy at 5%, Pence at like negative 4%, Christie at 2%, and Senator Scott at 1%.
Which is really interesting because Pence and Scott dropped out early.
They dropped out very early. And, you know, if you look at the delegate count after Iowa, you had Trump coming in with 20. The closest was DeSantis, and he was 9. Then you had Haley at 8 and Ramaswamy at 3.
But, you know, it's interesting that, you know, these folks are throwing their – these folks that were in the running have all thrown their support behind Trump. Well, I don't know about DeSantis, but I'm certain that's probably going to be the next step there.
Well, there was an endorsement, and he, you know, he suspended the campaign, and Trump was actually – endorsed by DeSantis after he suspended his presidential run.
Well, then that's good. You know, at least, you know, it could be that Donald Trump chooses DeSantis as a running mate, as a vice president. Yep. I don't, you know, you and I were talking about this earlier, and I don't think that Nikki Haley's already said that she doesn't want a VP position.
Right.
And, you know, I know that when she started out her campaign, a lot of people were very excited about what she stood for and her stance on things. And she was, you know, applauded for a lot of the things during the first debate.
Right.
And slowly but surely over time, she's gotten, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to say more defensive because that's not correct.
Well,
but
some people are finding her to be disingenuine.
Probably, yeah. You know, and I mean, when she was just the governor of South Carolina, I think most people probably liked her in that role. And then when, and I mean, according to Donald Trump, he did not. So that was why supposedly he nominated her for the UN, because he really wanted our governor to be where he is now, and instead of Nikki Haley. So that's interesting.
Yep. Well, you know, there are a lot of people saying DeSantis dropping out bolsters Trump in New Hampshire. And then, you know, Haley rallies supporters against Trump after DeSantis drops out. You know, may the best woman win is what she's saying. And,
Nikki.
And, you know, DeSantis and other GOP lawmakers that are supporting Trump, you know, a lot of them in his 2024 run. So, you know, there's a lot of this going back and forth. And I guess we will have much more to talk about after, you know, after, well, 2 days.
Yeah.
After this New Hampshire primary.
Yeah. And, you know, it looks pretty clear cut right now. Yeah. You know, I don't even think Nikki's going to do very well here in South Carolina. I'm not seeing that for her.
It's a mixed bag. You know, of support there.
I think, though, of any state, we're going to be the ones that are most decisive about whether or not, or how well she does here, based on what she's done in her past and her political career. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Donald Trump had said something about her when she first started her campaign for president, saying that she wasn't ready yet. And I don't think she is, because she's not running the kind of campaign that she should be running. We talked about this, and I don't think that you have to be a gunslinging, muckraking, challenge throwing person when you're running in an election. Because the thing about it is people get so tired of that.
Well, I find it interesting now that all of a sudden people are trying to throw race into the racial issues mm-hmm. into the race now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's talking about being divisive. But I think, you know, if you think back to the time when Trump was president, mm-hmm. I think there was more people coming together than divide. But, you know, Asa Hutchinson, I find, shared support for Nikki Haley ahead of the primary. And it says Trump is trying to divide. So, you know, what's Trump trying to divide?
I don't know.
I don't know. He said anyone who believes Donald Trump will unite this country has been asleep over the last 8 years. What is he talking about?
I
think you need to look more heavily at the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And then talk about who's really tried to divide the country.
Yeah, I think that Asa is off his nut.
Yeah. Former Vivek Ramaswamy and Tim Scott have also already endorsed Trump. But Hutchinson, and this is also I find interesting, Hutchinson told the news outlets that while he's happy to offer support to Haley in New Hampshire, it's not an official endorsement. So isn't that kind of like a backhanded comment?
I would think so, because he was just saying, like, Nikki's the woman, and then he's like, well, Nikki's the woman, but that doesn't mean I'm really supporting her.
Yeah. So
what does that mean? Does that mean he's hoping that Donald Trump will be like, well, okay, you didn't throw your support behind her. You didn't really throw it my way. Hey, you want to be vice president? I don't think that's going to happen either, Asa. So
that's something we're just going to have to see how things play out. I mean, it's a little less than 2 days now, 1 day, 23 hours and 59 minutes as we count down the New Hampshire primary. So we will definitely be watching with, you know, bated breath come Tuesday night.
Right? I've always wondered how they determine that this state or that state with an early primary is like the one you need to watch. Like, South Carolina did not used to be in that lineup.
No, they didn't.
And only in maybe, what, the last 30 years?
Yeah.
South Carolina has become a primary state, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
You know, what makes a primary state like Iowa or New Hampshire?
I think it's the mixture of people that are here now.
Oh, well,
because then, if you think about it, you got a lot of people moving here from the Southwest. You have people trying to move down here from the North.
And from California and Texas. Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I'm saying, Southwest. You know, you got Texas, Arizona infiltrating this area. We see a lot of California. We see, you know, a lot of different states, you know, New York from up north moving down into this area. And is it because, you know, we're growing, we're thriving, or is it because people are tired of the way things are going on in other parts of the country?
Well, you know, no matter what the reasoning is, you know, I like South Carolina the way that it is.
Yep.
I like living here. I like what we have as a community, and I'm starting to see a lot of that change.
Yeah.
And that bothers me because it's disturbing something that has been dear to me, and I don't really want there to be a whole lot of changes by people moving here and wanting to sort of upset the apple cart.
Yep. Another interesting thing that's going on kind of in the polls, they're talking about Biden's struggles. And
okay.
Democrats warning as levels of concern grows, and they're saying the problem is the man. Well,
did it take you this long to figure that out, Michigan?
Perhaps it did. And it said they're sounding the alarm on President Biden's chances in the state of, you know, in the state as polls continue to show him trailing Donald Trump. The level of concern is growing, and it should be, as, you know, a Democratic strategist based in Michigan is telling the Wall Street Journal. The problem is not policy. the problem is the man. Well, duh.
That's about the only answer you can give to that is duh.
I mean, you know, Biden's support for Israel's caused tension in the state, and which is a large community of Arab Americans, especially in Dearborn, Michigan. And, you know, we're going to support Israel. I mean, you know, they're one of our biggest allies.
Right.
And they're also talking about Trump leading Biden among Hispanic young voters as well, like 39% to 34%.
Well, you know, and that's interesting because that is actually where I think a lot of your swing voters are, mm-hmm. are going to be making a very distinct opinions on who they're going to have very distinct opinions on who they vote for, because those that have come to this country legally don't like the ones that are coming in illegally because they did things the right way. And now we've just got this influx of everybody. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from parts of the Hispanic community when I'm among them.
I think a lot of the things, because it was interesting, I was reading a quote that someone had said, and they say they don't see hope in Donald Trump, and they don't see hope in Joe Biden. But, you know, the thing is that Trump's presidency, you know, something very major happened during his presidency, which was COVID, right? The onset of COVID. And COVID was going on when Biden came into office, but then the first thing he did when he walks in the door is undo, and flips all these switches off. Then our economy started going rampant. Prices started getting out of control. Everything has just been up and up and up and up and up and up. And you can't blame that on Trump. President Trump at the time had policies in place that actually bolstered our economy, helped our economy. You know, for the first time in ages, America was going to be exporting fuel to other countries, and it did not come out of our emergency reserves, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, for the first time, there was actually some fair trade tariffs and acts going on, and, you know, prices of things were dropping. The border was definitely under control, and that's a whole nother thing.
We were getting
that's
out
a whole
of,
nother can
and
of
And we
worms.
Were getting out of a war.
Yeah.
We were getting out of a war
and we
that
just
wasn't going to be won.
We just didn't withdraw and leave people hanging over there.
No.
We just didn't pull the switch and, okay, we've had enough.
That was so
you
terrible.
You can't do it.
That was like so that. Bad.
And we're still reeling from the effects of that.
We are. And that's not even anything that's talked about anymore. And you know it didn't just fix itself.
Nope.
So it's kind of, my question is like, well, whatever happened to the people that were stuck there?
Well,
did they get out? Did they not? Are they still there? Are they alive? Are they dead? What's going on?
Yep. And you don't hear that.
Nope.
You hear about what's going on in Israel. You hear about what's been going on in Russia for over a year. You hear about all these different things, but now other things are coming to light
mm-hmm.
about them talking about system breakdown and Biden's China strategy, saying it's detrimental to international system. And that's what experts are saying. But we didn't have those kind of talks when Trump was in office.
No. I mean, the whole thing was about trying to get him out with all the, you know, the Russia hoax and this and that and the other. And, you know,
that
now
started before
January,
he even got in office.
Yeah. And now there's this whole January 6th thing where states are feeling like they can write him off the ballot. And
nope.
They just can't do that.
Well, the whole thing is the whole Russian thing started before Trump even got in office. They tried to get him out of office since day one.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone knew that he was not bought and paid for.
Exactly.
How many paychecks has Joe Biden said, no, I'm going to donate it to this,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to donate it to that? Answer that, Joe Biden. How many paychecks have you donated? I bet you haven't donated one. That's just my personal opinion on that. But you can bet that he's not going to turn down those payments that he gets for being president.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's talking about that either.
There's a lot that's not being talked about. And, you know, when the news doesn't pick it up and it's sat sort of fallow for a while, people have a tendency to forget things. But, you know, if you really look back on all of the things that have come out since his presidency started, don't forget about that stuff.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the man spent the entire campaign in his basement.
Yep. Well, you're really not hearing a whole lot out of the campaign other than January 6th. January 6th.
That's all they got.
That's a skipping record, people. Don't you hear the static in between it? January 6th. January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, over in the border, you know, you got cartel human smuggling business turning the entire border towns into war zones.
Absolutely.
We were talking about this earlier.
Yes.
Cartels are making millions of dollars in smuggling in migrants into the U.S. across an unsecured border.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where the issue actually is. My question is, how much money is the U.S. receiving from these cartels to sort of grease the palms and pave the way? Because you know there is something there.
If that was to happen, you would never, ever hear about it.
Of course not. But I can't believe that there's nothing that's being gained by the United States for letting all these people in, because they're breaking the budget. They are breaking cities. They are breaking the cost of insurance and medical care and everything else.
Yep. Here are the things that you're not hearing a lot about, folks. The money left by the migrants trying to get across the border wall from Mexico into U.S. to criminal organizations that are trying to guide them across, extorting them, or kidnapping them, is creating a multi-million dollar illegal business. Now, the different criminal organizations operating across the border are fighting to death for a piece of that pie. And from small towns like San Ygritte across the border from Lukeville, Arizona, to entire cities like Ciudad Juarez across the river from El Paso, different cartels are killing each other and challenging Mexican authorities to gain control of the smuggling routes, okay? They actually have videos from San Ygritte, Sonora in northern Mexico, an SUV with several armed men around it set fire during a violent gunfight between alleged members of local criminal organizations with ties to the Sinaloa cartel and the Mexican army, according to local news outlets. So these are the things that are happening. They're fighting and battling on that side of the border just to get people to see who's going to have the right, basically, to carry people illegally into our border. So what makes that right?
Not a darn thing. And this is exactly what you're starting to see on a lot of social media, is that Governor Abbott has signed several bills regarding the border and what they're going to do. And Homeland Security and the National Guard, they're telling Texans that they need to stay out of it. They need to let them handle it. And Texas is fed up with what's going on their borders. And they're starting to really just defend themselves at this point, because
starting to fight back.
Yeah, because the government is not doing anything about it. And we're talking about Texans are being overrun. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on. I mean, even things that they don't put on the news, like people crossing the border are trying to break into people's homes. And, you know, there's a lot of crime and everything else that's going on that Texas just can't handle anymore.
Yep. It is so sad. And this is the stuff that, you know, the only thing we can do at this point is pray about it, right?
Absolutely. And hope that, you know, what is going on in Texas does not become something that consumes the entire nation. I mean, they're calling it like the beginning of another civil war. And that's interesting to me. That is very interesting to me that term has been used. And there are a lot of people speaking out on that right now. So definitely there will be more to come on that, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely going to be more to come on that. And, you know, it was interesting earlier, I'd run across a story that was talking about global Christian persecution raging, and a new effort seeks to awaken the church. You heard anything about this?
I haven't.
Well, as you know, there a watchdog has launched a first of its kind open source database allowing people to track incidents of violence and religious persecution. Global Christian Relief and the International Institute for Religious Freedom have teamed up to create the Violent Incident Database, which is dubbed the first and only event-based global religious freedom data set. So they're talking about everything from anti-Semitism to severe persecution. You know, there are diabolical governments and dictators and extremists who want to control people's religious inclinations. And, you know, they also pointed out to the plight of it's not just Christians, but also groups like, you know, Uyghurs, who the Chinese have rounded up and have put in concentration camps. Plus, nations like Nigeria face escalating persecution crisis, with Christians being slaughtered by Muslim extremists at rapid rates. And that's just some of the stuff that's going on across the world while all of this other stuff is going on that we seem pertinent. We certainly can't forget about all of these things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, it's disturbing.
Yeah, and I want to see what more I can find out about this database and, you know, see, you know, what it is and what's in there. And there actually is a where you can search different types of reports and from different countries. So I want to look into that a little bit deeper and see how it's helping or tracking things to help bring more light to it, because these things are definitely not being talked about in mainstream news
mm-hmm,
at all.
Mm-hmm.
So are there any other interesting things that stories that you may have heard about?
No, I mean, really, the biggest thing that I've heard about is what I mentioned regarding Texas. And, you know, I don't know how long it will be until, you know, another state like Arizona gets involved in something like that too, because in California, probably nothing in California. They're just whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't really hear that much coming out of Arizona like you do coming out of Texas. So that, I don't know much more about that right now, but that's one of the most interesting things that I want to keep a tab on.
Definitely. And we definitely will keep tabs on all of those and definitely keep watching. And I'm sure we'll have more to talk about with the presidential race after seeing what the outcomes are from Tuesday night.
It'd be funny if Trump showed up all by himself.
Well, you know, at this point, you never know because, you know, like I say, earlier today we were hearing reports of, well, he's postponed these and he's going to reschedule, and then all of a sudden, poof, he's dropped out of the race.
Yes.
So we'll wait and see what happens there. You ready to jump into the message?
I am.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message. And as we jump into the series here tonight, talking about relationships, just want to start out with prayer. You know, Lord, you know how important relationships are, and you know how much we need each other. Help us this coming year to be the types of people we want to be around. Help us to love others as ourselves and to see others as you see them. So amen on that, and
amen.
Good evening. We are excited to be with you all again this evening as we take time to open up the scriptures and let them teach us something new. And I'm convinced that our greatest opportunities for spiritual growth does not happen when we are by ourselves, But when we're in a relationship with one another, would you agree with that?
I would.
That is how we grow a connection with God that is better, right? So last week we began a sermon series simply called Better. We are, you know, convinced that living a life with Jesus is the best way to live. And when we submit to Him, our lives are better. Last week we looked at the impact God can have in our lives when we begin the new year with better priorities. When we put God first, the rest of our lives will fall into order. If we get this backward, the most important things in our lives will suffer. So tonight we will discover that the people we surround ourselves with have far-reaching effects. Sometimes it's important for us to focus on having better relationships. Sorry. And surrounding ourselves with others who want to be better, right? What would you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a little story I want to share with you. In Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
So, we're given some of the most basic and effective advice for developing meaningful relationships. He says, one, become genuinely interested in other people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So two, a smile. If you want to draw others to you, light up your face with a smile. The third thing is remember names. A person's name is the sweetest and most important sound to that person. The fourth thing is be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. The fifth thing is talk in terms of the other person's interest. Treat others the way they want to be treated. And of these five relational instructions, think about which one is most helpful in your experience. So the truth is that you and I were created for relationships. We were designed to live our best lives when we do it in the context of community. The problem is we don't always choose the right people to surround ourselves with. Often, we can do better. The Bible gives us some practical wisdom for living in healthy community with one another. So, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray, from Proverbs 12:26. The people who live righteous lives are people who choose their friends carefully. This means that rather than leaving our closest relationships to chance, we make a concerted effort to surround ourselves with people who are carefully chosen. So first, let's talk about good relationships are not left to chance. The righteous know the kind of person they want to be and choose to surround themselves with people who help them to achieve those goals. The righteous look for people who make them better versions of themselves. The righteous seek out people who love God with their whole hearts and live it out each day. Some people don't have our best interests in mind. Some people don't live based on a desire to please God. Some people don't make us better. Rather, some can make us bitter. The difference between positive relationships and negative ones can be compared to the difference between graffiti and an art gallery. Graffiti is haphazard. It's messy. It's unpredictable. An art gallery is different. Graffiti is chaotic. But an art gallery is curated. It is strategic, right? It is, you know, thought through. The art behind building relationships can be seen in the same way. If we leave our closest connections to accidental encounters, we may find ourselves being led to places where we never wanted to go and becoming people we never intended to be. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see the way to develop better relationships. Jesus certainly spent time with a lot of people. We'll call them the crowd. Though he spent time there, they were not his focus. Instead, we have a group of 12 disciples that he did most of his life with. Even inside of those 12, he had three even closer relationships in Peter, James, and John, where he really invested his time and energy. Jesus did not leave his friendships to chance. He chose them wisely, and we should do the same. So the second thing we need to do is we need to look for godly attributes. The only way we can avoid relationships by chance and develop friendships by choice is by looking for characteristics in others that look like Jesus and encourage us towards him. The Apostle Paul writes about this in his letter to the early church in Corinth. The reason Paul puts this into his letter is because the struggle to surround ourselves with the right people is not new to us. It's been going on for a very long time. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's from 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7. So Paul is outlining what true relationships built on the love of God look like in our lives. As I read through these simple yet profound characteristics, I can't help but think to myself that those are the kinds of relationships I want in my life. I want to connect with people who are patient and kind. I want to trust people who are not self-seeking or proud. I want to have friendships that are always, you know, protect one another and persevere through difficult times. Being aware of the people that are in our sphere of influence and noticing when someone demonstrates these attributes that Paul says just may be the very best way to develop better relationships in this new year. A good friend with these characteristics makes us feel safe, loved, and supported. Some of the greatest friendships I've had in my life have been because they fit this passage so well. Many of them were born out of adversity and struggle. So I want to share a story with you. Jackie Robinson, you know who that is, right? The first black athlete to play Major League Baseball. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium that he competed in. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, New York, he committed an error on the field. The fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans heckled him. It was at the height of this tension, when he felt most alone, that suddenly shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over, stood next to him, and put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. The fans grew silent. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. Some of us this evening need to have someone like Pee Wee Reese in our life. Someone who is willing to come and stand next to us when no one else will. Someone who will face down jeering crowds so we don't have to do it alone. Do you have someone who embodies the patience, kindness, humility, love, truth, and joy that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians? If not, begin this new year by doing everything in your power to find folks who do. That way, when life throws you the difficult circumstances that often come, like losing a job, marriage struggles, addiction, sinful temptation, you don't have to go it alone. As important as it is for us to be on the lookout for godly friendships, there's also a very important aspect to better relationships that often gets overlooked, which brings us to the third point tonight. What kind of friend am I? The truth is, in order for us to have better relationships, we must also be someone people might want to develop a relationship with. We must live with a sober self-assessment and be able to answer honestly if we're the kind of people God wants us to be. If you were to be honest, what kind of friend are you? Are you trustworthy? Are you kind? Are you forgiving? Do you have others' best interest in mind? Paul writes about this need for an other's focused life in the book of Romans. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, from Romans 12:10. So what Paul is doing here is giving instruction for individuals to live in meaningful relationships with one another. Rather than just expect that everyone else would cater to my needs and desires, I make conscious efforts to be devoted to others in love. This word for love that Paul uses is the word Philadelphia. Sounds familiar, right? What is that city known as? The city of brotherly love. Paul is inviting us to love others as brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a deep connection that is made as part of God's family. Then he says we ought to honor one another above ourselves. This is the crux of the passage. Without putting other people first and honoring them by the way that we treat them, there is no hope of building better relationships that are not somehow one-sided. So, there's a bit of practical wisdom offered by an article in Daily Walk, and that was from a 1993 version, okay? Though this writing is a bit dated, I think you would agree its advice is not how to be miserable. It says, think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous and envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown them. Never forget a service you have rendered. Shirk if your duties, if you can, do as little as possible for others. Or take the opposite route and be a person focused on others more than yourself. Be the type of friend you want to have. So in conclusion, once again, Jesus is our greatest example for building better relationships. He was a standard for living a life of humility and service through his life, death, and resurrection. He demonstrated how to love others as well. So in this new year, make a commitment to surround yourself with people who push you towards Jesus. Pay close attention to the kind of fruit that your closest friends demonstrate. Pay even closer attention to your own fruit to make sure you are the kind of person who would encourage and support people who enter a relationship with you. It's always wise to take a step back at this time of year and reevaluate. Perhaps better relationships are exactly what you all need. What do you think of that?
I that's great advice. I think about that stuff a lot because in my lifetime, I've always had a relatively small circle of friends, and it's because, you know, when you meet people, you want to be able to trust them, you want to have things in common, but, you know, it's not necessarily that they have to think just like you. In fact, it's pretty good if they don't, because that makes you look at different perspectives on things.
Right.
But unfortunately, the world has created people that are a little shady sometimes. And it's hard to be friends with someone who's shady, especially when they take advantage of a situation. And you're talking about making friends that, you know, you can support and take care of and all of these things. And I think that when you do find those people, it's a very rare but special relationship.
Yep.
So, you know, absolutely. And what kind of friend we are. I like to think that I myself am the kind of person that, you know, if someone needs help, if they, you know, are in a bind, that I'll be there for them because they've been there for me, or the opportunity exists, you know, where you're in a trusting relationship with somebody and you just want to help. I see it every day. I try to live it every day.
Very much so. And I agree with that 100%. And, you know, I'm excited to continue this next week, right?
Absolutely.
In next week's show, we're going to be talking about better choices, right? And when I say better choices, you know, every choice we make in life has consequences. We must use wisdom that is given us by God to choose wisely. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Definitely.
And that all begins with a fear of God. This fear is a reverence and respect for holy God, but that fear can mature into a deep and abiding trust, and ultimately, it is our trust in God that helps us make better choices. So, I think that's going to be, you know, a great show next week in with that, and definitely help get us all rolling in the right direction this year.
Oh.
I mean, we could all use that.
Well, you know, and that's a really great thing about being able to start every new year is, you know, mistakes that you've made in the past, don't carry them into a new year.
Yep. It's a chance to start over, right?
Absolutely. Turn over that new leaf.
Definitely. Wow. What a good show tonight.
Indeed.
And we've definitely got some things to follow up on this week to provide some more insight. You know, on the political scope of this country and as, you know, turmoil and, you know, things are on cue to get out of control again as much as they usually do. And it doesn't have to be that way. There doesn't have to be this much strife. But, you know, one part of that is prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pray for the Lord to shine his light in the dark spaces so that, you know, everyone can get to know him better. Pray for government. Pray for God to shine his light in all the dark spaces in government so that everyone can kind of get more on the same page, right?
Something.
It's, you know, it's not about anti-Semitism, and it's not about race, and it's not about, you know, bashing this person or bashing that person. It's about what can we do for everyone to make things better for everybody, you know, not just one group. Not just one side or the other. You know, it's time people start realizing that that's more of what it's about than anything else.
It is, because so many people have stepped away from, you know, religion
100%.
And faith and all of these different things. And if you take that step back, you know, you'll be renewed.
And, you know, if you're just figuring out this God thing, if that's the way you look at it, start taking those steps, you know. Start repenting. Start admitting that you're a sinner and believing that Jesus Christ died for you and was buried and rose again. And invite Jesus into your heart. It's a simple prayer. It's nothing you have to do in a room full of people. You don't have to do it with a pastor. You don't have to do it with anybody special. You can do it wherever you are. Just say this prayer out loud. Simple little prayer. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, now's the time to start digging in, time to start growing. What's some of the most important things you can do right now?
Get yourself a Bible.
That's right. Get a Bible. There are many versions out there. The King James Version, all the these and thous. You know, there's NIV, which is a lot of people are using nowadays. It's just, you know, converted into more relational context for it to be easier to read. Nothing wrong with that. But start learning how to pray. What's something else you can do?
Join a Bible-based church.
That's right. Get in a good Bible-based church that teaches the Word, teaches on the Bible. Get involved in a small group. You know, meeting with a group of people and learning how to grow and expand and start living and start, you know, eating the Word and feeding yourself on the Word of the Bible. Start learning how to pray. It's just like what we're doing right now, talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
No simple, there's no formula to it. It's not mathematical.
Nope. I find that the best times for me to pray and to reflect is in the morning when I'm driving to work or in the shower.
As
I do some
of
my best thinking in the shower.
As a lot of people, you know, find the morning times are the best for them. But, you know, find that time each day and have that conversation with God. You know, get your innermost feelings and thoughts out there and talk to the one that created them, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. So it's been another great show tonight. You got any last thoughts over there tonight?
I hope that everybody has a warmer, better week.
Yeah, we can all hope for that.
Ooh-wee.
But, yeah, it's been a great show. And reach out to us. Send us an email, christianpolititalk@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, we really appreciate everybody joining us every week, people that listen to the podcast later on. And, you know, to think we started all this 153 shows ago, right?
That's a long time.
When did we start in, what, 2021 in January?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Coming into year four.
Because like everybody else, we were stuck inside for COVID.
Stuck inside for COVID and you know, looking at the world of politics, you know, and things like that. Just wanting people to, you know, help people to understand better. Wow. It's really grown. The shows have really expanded. So, wow, you know, I'm just kind of blown away by it. But we'd love to have you join us next week right here, 7 o'clock next Sunday night. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you then. Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at christianpolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLk, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Be my hands and look at my feet. It's okay if it's hard to believe. It's my time to go, but before I leave, go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I've gotta go now for a little while, but goodbye. There's much to do here before you leave, so go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I've got to go now for a
Produced by Sound Image Productions.